If you like stuff, then check out the Am I Stuff podcast with Mr. Kelsey Hudgens.
He's a fella.
Right from the Scuba Whiskey Studios.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios, indeed. Hey, guys. How you living? You doing well? Good. Glad to hear that. Always ask questions that they can't answer and then answer for them, which is an ideal world for me, guys. It's a window into my soul there. Why did I say this? Who fucking cares? All right, guys. In this episode, we had the sweet Jeremy and the sweet Corinne together to make Sweet Sweet. And we had them on the podcast to talk about really, really cool things going on in the world. And I'm not going to give you any spoilers on the content because, to be perfectly honest, my brain's fucking weird and I can't remember exactly what we talked about. Because it's just cool. It's just a conversation.
It was good.
I think it was good. I think it was good, too. So, yeah. We told all the secrets to playing live shows and stuff like that. But you'll hear all that in a minute. At Sweet Sweet Band on Instagram, at Sweet Sweet Band, hashtag Sweet Sweet Band will take you just about anywhere. If you search on all the platforms, you'll be able to find their social media and where they're going to be performing and where their music is going to be available on Spotify and iTunes and anywhere music is available, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Sweet Sweet, spelled just like it sounds. Oh, goodness.
Not hotel rooms.
Not hotel rooms, exactly. So, yes, no more content warning on that. Please go to mistuffpodcast.com. And I just said all this in the outro, but if you're like me and you listen to podcasts a lot, you'll probably skip the first 5 minutes of just about any podcast because you know that's where they do all their plugs and stuff. So since there's a chance of that, I did say it again in the end. Anyway, please go to mistuffpodcast.com. And there is links to tip jars and all sorts of cool things. The screwballwhiskey.com, SKREWBallWhiskey.com. Tomorrow's story is being right here. Go check them out. And anywhere liquor is available, go into that room and ask them for Screwball Whiskey. And if they say no, punch that person in the nose as hard as you can. And then tell them that it is their duty now to bring Screwball Whiskey to you. Yeah. Also, please go to the all the social media sites. Follow MI Stuff Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and MI Stuff Podcast, the number one, on Twitter. Also, at Yonder Wizard, if you guys want to follow me personally, WIZZERD, and Kelsey Hudgens on all of the other things, at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter, on Instagram, or Facebook, rather. And YouTube, yeah, please click subscribe on the YouTube channel. And is there anything else that I'm missing? Oh, tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night, a late, late podcast with the gorgeous Blair Beaudry is going to be coming on tomorrow night to do an episode of the podcast with me. And yeah, that's going to be cool. So it's going to be 2/3 of the Sunset Grill crew. Maybe the whole shebang. Who knows? I never plan that far ahead. So that's going to be happening. But you're going to be getting a lot of extra episodes on off days coming up soon because I feel like I owe you guys more content because I took all of last week off when there was a hurricane that didn't really do much around here. But, you know, what can you do? Yeah. Didn't have the energy. Didn't feel like it. But anyway, I'm running into my content, guys. So without further ado, episode number 168. Enjoy, motherfuckers.
You know, we bought a bunch of synthesizers and sitars, and
it was only a matter of time. I knew it was going to happen.
We got a lot of drugs. No,
yeah.
So
it was only a matter of time. I knew. But no, that's really cool. You guys have this. You guys have a way of, and I know I said this probably a dozen times last time, so I want to get it out of the way quick. But y'all's sound is just so comfortable. And I love that.
That's a good,
thank you,
nice thing
you're
to say.
You're welcome.
Yeah, comfortable.
It's so comfortable. It's just, It's comforting. It really is. And I mean, I don't know. I love when you guys and everything that you have released. By the way, you remember when I told you guys that I wanted to do this like MI Stuff Radio thing where I wanted to just play a bunch of local artists mm-hmm. yeah. on a loop?
Sure.
Well, I still want to do that, but I'm really afraid of like copyright problems just because where we upload music and where you guys have uploaded your music is probably like hound dogs about when your music is played somewhere.
Even if you have the permission of, like, this is my friend, but then like BMI, like he starts hitting you up, you're like, no, I represent Jeremy Dunham. You're like, I talked to Jeremy just earlier today. He said it was fine.
Yeah.
BMI was like, no, it's not fine.
Yeah. You did not talk to us. I get emails from my songs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it too. Like, even it is a little bit kind of a pain in the butt. We've had a couple things that were like through YouTube that were just some, we had given them permission. It was like some companies that wanted to like use our video in like a video collage of songs. And we're like, yeah, sounds fine. But then the place kept hitting us and they're like, it's not happening. Like, it's restricted. And then we had to like get a hold of TuneCore, who we used for a while there. And yeah. It's just like a big
hoopla. You gotta go in and whitelist the particular video.
Whitelist it, yeah. Yep. And we missed our chance at one point. Like, mm-hmm. we had this cool promotion going and we just couldn't get it lined up in time because TuneCore didn't change permissions or whatever. And like the day of, the place was like, I'm sorry, we had to take your video off. That's a bummer. The collage. I'm like, God.
Yeah.
Bummer, man. I've used so
overprotected,
right?
It's like, thanks a lot, Ma.
I felt the same way because the when we did Cornbread's two singles, we recorded those with Ed up at Atlantic in North Myrtle Beach forever ago. Those like that EP that we released, and we put those two songs with CD Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would play just acoustic versions of that song on my live streams, I would get emails from CD Baby, like a monetization share or something like that. And I was like, man, I wrote this song. It's, like, it's mine.
But in a way, if you do follow up and you do list that as something you're being used, it could actually come back to you and you could maybe make a couple pennies off of it a couple fractions of a penny.
Yeah, even after all of the singles and stuff that I've uploaded over the last few weeks or months or a month, I've got like what $13 or something like that, and I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll wait until there's a significant number, which is going to be never, by the way. So I'll just
it will be. Like, it's surprising. It'll add up.
I don't know, man, but it's.
It will. Trust me.
We wait like a year.
And then we put in like, we just did it. We just put in like $160 into our account from like a year's worth of stuff.
That's so bad.
You know, it's bad, but it's good. Who doesn't want $160?
Right.
And you just forget about it. You don't think about it because it's not actual physical. Like, we didn't have to reorder albums and like, it's not like merch.
It's all profit, where you, basically.
Yeah, it's just like literally profit, and they're out there anyway. And somebody could go to YouTube and listen to it for free. I mean,
Do they do that for you too? Do they like create a YouTube topic channel mm-hmm. for you guys?
Yep.
And I remember we were talking a little bit about the Google knowledge graph thing. That is how that happened. Was the YouTube topic channel? Like the YouTube chop, because YouTube and Google are now the same.
Yeah.
So when YouTube built my topic channel, it sort of like tied everything together with Google, and that.
So Google made you an artist page?
Yeah.
Oh.
Have we Googled ourselves recently?
Not recently. We've used two different places, but it's. Who did you use this recently? CD Baby or?
Easter Kid.
Easter Kid, that's what put you in, like, globally, mm-hmm. put you in a bunch of places, yeah.
Yep. The reason I chose that one is because the guy who started TuneCore and the guy who started CD Baby left those companies and started DistroKid.
Mm.
And every YouTube, I started, the only reason I released those singles was because I was trying to get a knowledge panel built. And that was the whole, that was my reasoning behind that.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I've got this Ballad of the Unlucky Man that I've been sitting on for however long, so I'm going to release that. And I did that, and then it was like, okay, so you have to release two more. So that was when I was like, okay, well, I can just record something quick, and that's where those songs came from. But that was the whole point of me trying to do those, is I was just trying to get a knowledge panel.
Sure, yeah. That's what's up. I mean, we tried to do it just by, like, going through Google, like, become, I don't even know, we got lost in it, trying to, like, I don't even know how it works. It's like you own your own Google page, or
it's like an invite thing.
It's weird.
It's like you just have to know exactly what things to do to get the invitation.
Yeah,
and I just watch.
Like, try and make yourself a Wikipedia page,
dude. That's impossible. Exactly. That is impossible because you can't.
It can't be impossible, but
well, by the rules of Wikipedia, it is because you cannot. To upload things to Wikipedia, you cannot be the person in which you're uploading.
Sure.
Like, that's against the rules.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and so because of that, I haven't even attempted it. So, like, you'd have to get somebody else to do it for you.
Yeah. It is kind of odd that they're like, no, even though you know more about you than anybody else does, like, let's get other these random people to put stuff up there and hope that it's right.
Yeah, right. Let's hope it's stuff right. I had to plug my phone in. How's it going, Corinne?
It's going good.
Good.
Yeah.
How's life?
It's good.
we're not gonna shout out the person that wants to be shouted out.
Yeah.
Either. It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. I had to plug my phone in, and I was just making sure that it was charging. Okay. So I had a couple of random ass questions that I had mentally prepared to ask you both. Hmm. What is the weirdest thing that a crowd member has done since the last time we have done a podcast? And I want both of your answer. And it could be the same one. And if it's too much, you can do a top three.
Oh, man. It'd be more like, for me, trying to remember anything.
Only reason I do that is because when I do talks by myself, I'll ramble on about gigs and stuff, and what mainly comes out is things that people have done that I was like, how do you think that that's okay to do? Or not necessarily okay, but just random something or weird things or just things that catch you off guard. It could be good or bad.
Yeah. You think about anything off the top of your head?
Nothing is popping out right now.
Must have been that fireball that erases any bad
things.
It's like
it does that.
Next day, you're like, oh, let's get over it. I'm sure there's been plenty of things. I just can't think off the top of my head. Honestly, I don't know.
I feel like people are more respectful towards us to say. Than they like.
The only reason I know
they're
that
they're scared to ask us,
yeah,
for things.
Even scared to even come up and like, we get the whole like, once they do come up, they just ask for straight off the bat, like, can we request a song? And we say sure,
yeah.
And then they like say they ask something, and we say I don't know. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, just do whatever you want. I mean, it's just kind of strange. The only reason I know it's different is because I'm in other projects where they definitely don't have that respect.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's respect or what it is, but people, we don't get messed with. Is it that much?
They still yell Freebird and shit.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing still to me.
The Freebird yelling.
I just don't get it. Like, I mean, like. It's not funny or not funny to me. I don't know. I just don't get it. I'm not offended by it, but it definitely seems more of a just a personal thing. Like somebody, it's always like some guy at a table with multiple people. Like he's just trying to see the reaction of those people around him.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I just wonder if the people around him are like, oh, don't do that, dude. Or if they if
that's
got
to
really
have like a 20% approval rating amongst the table. It has to.
It's like you're the one guy out of the whole table. Like, if people thought that would be funny, somebody else would have done it. Or is it just like, who can yell Freebird first? Or, I don't know. I don't get offended by it, but I don't, unless you just keep saying it.
Yeah.
I mean,
that gets annoying.
I'm just like, come on, man. Like,
I get annoyed by, like, if I hear certain people ask for, like, Simple Man or just stuff that you know that people are going to know. And I've said this several times in recent episodes, so listeners are going to be like, what? He's saying it again. But I think that they just want to feel like they have contributed to the room. They ask you for a song that they know you know how to play.
Right.
So then whenever you get done playing the song, every clap that the room gives the artist is towards them, yeah, in a way.
It is. It's. I don't know if they're feeling they're contributing or if they're feeling like they're making it more about them. There's a lot of
selfishness involved.
Yeah. I remember Tommy Brady used to say that. He's like, tonight's all about me. It's all about me. Like, just mocking people. Yeah. And tonight's my night. I know you're up there playing, but no, it's about me.
Yeah.
I get it, too. It's like, you see that sometimes. Where people are just like, it's one thing if you get a request and it's just like somebody honestly just thinks that you'd be great at that, or if they just really love that song, and they usually say that to us. They say, I just think that you'd be great at that, like, maybe take a list, check it out sometime, or
yeah,
you know. But the people that honestly, like, come up and just list a song, and you say, no, we usually say, no, we don't know that, because we don't know a lot of popular songs. But
same here,
we just say no, and then they just keep listing other ones. Okay, how about this, or how about this? And you get to about three or four, and I'm like, we don't have to do, I mean, this is not a thing where, like, since you came up, you have to pick a song. Like, yeah, you could just go back to your seat. Since we don't know the song that you came up for originally, you don't have to stay here until we find one that you know.
That's one thing I've noticed, too, is they feel like, okay, so, and then when you realize that they only had the one song prepared, and then they're we're robbing everybody else in the room of just a,
like,
show.
Yeah, now they're just like, okay, hold on, let me think of something. It's like, you don't have to.
Or you'll get well, what do you know?
Yeah.
What kind of question is that? Because I don't know the answer to that.
I always say a bunch of things, just not the things you just asked for.
Do you feel like, and I might be boxing up this fan base, but do you feel like the most people who ask for those things are asking for the popular country songs?
No. I mean, I had a guy ask me in last night for, like, and I get it a little bit more. I was playing solo last night, so I get it a little bit more for some reason than I do with Corinne. People don't usually even come up and ask at all, but I had a guy just ask. They weren't bad songs, and they just seemed like popular songs. I think he was just looking for a mood. I just happened to not know those songs. He was like, you know, Soul Sister? And I was like, no, I like that song. He's like, how about Beautiful Day by U2? And I was like, no. I mean, I know the songs. I always say that, too. I'm like, I know them, and I like those songs. I just don't know them. I don't know how to play them.
Yeah, me too. I never went down that road before. Yeah, that's what I
started listing more and more, and then I got to the point where I was like, man, I could try something like this, but I'd probably really ruin it by not singing. I don't know the lyrics.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And then he said, you know what? Yeah, just play something you're comfortable with. But I was going to say, like, one of the things that bothers me most isn't, like, what you say when you come up. It's that whether you come up or not. Something that really bugs me is when people just yell out at you. It's like just yelling out things that they want you to play.
Yeah.
Just yelling out a song like Simple Man. Like, what? Like, you're just yelling out a song. Like, come up and ask me if I can play that song.
Yeah.
It's just, where does I don't know. Where did that go? Like, you're just yelling at me now. Like, just yelling things out at me instead of just like, it's just disrespectful, I feel like. And you have a lot better chance of me. I mean, I just ignore it. Like, people just yell out things, and I just pretend like it's not even happening. Until I hear it. If somebody says it multiple times, then I'll just, I don't know, something goes off in me, and I usually say something kind of rude on the mic back to them.
Oh, dude, I love that.
I mean, nothing too bad, but just, I hear you. We hear you.
Yeah.
We're not, we're pretending like we don't hear you. Everybody in the bar hears you. Or just something like that. And then they just kind of, okay. It's like, did you think we didn't hear you? It's like, and if you did think we didn't hear you, how about try a different approach? Maybe come up and look me in the eye and make sure I got your attention. If it's not working, if you're just yelling it out, maybe I didn't hear you. I don't know.
See, I invite that kind of thing, but you were about to say something.
I was?
I don't know. You look like you were right before I started talking.
Oh, no.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't want to hypothetically interrupt you.
Does it bother you when people yell out stuff? Or?
Oh, of course. Everything bothers me.
Yeah.
But, oh, I was going to say earlier, though, is the people that come up in the middle of a song.
Oh, yeah, that's another
And one. Then yell in my ear, and I have in-ears in.
Yeah.
So I can't hear them, you know, and yeah. they're just, like, screaming in my ear, and I'm like, get
this is gonna
away
work.
From me.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of busy.
A little busy right yeah. now.
Like, oh, we need a gate or something
yeah.
to keep them out.
That's me. I have to have my stage. Like, if I don't have that, if I don't yeah. have that space, then I'm useless. I'm not. And by useless, I mean useless in my job. I'm very good at making somebody feel about 2 feet tall
yeah.
at that point.
Sure.
Like, I'm the best at that whenever that happens. But I can't, like, when somebody comes up and they're trying to ask for songs in the middle of a song, that's when I completely ignore. But I do invite people. Because,
of course,
I got the big country guy vibe. So when I walk into the room, I give off the vibe. When I'm on stage, I give off the vibe that I like, I'm in control here.
Yeah.
If you guys, anything you want to hear, feel free to holler it out. There's a 10% chance I'll know it. I'll do 10% of what I don't know, 100% of what I do know within reason, of course, is a family establishment and blah, blah, blah. So whenever, like, I will have some people that'll holler out a song or whatever. And then by then, like, okay, that's cool. I don't know if I know that one. So now I'm sort of having a conversation with people in the room. So I'm like inviting people to sort of heckle.
Yeah.
And that works for me. And I can handle the crowd doing that, but when it's like one person who continuously yells out songs and then they don't, like, and it's not this about tips or anything, but just that they don't come up to the tip jar and they right. don't help you out in that fashion at all, it's a little disrespectful.
I would say so.
And not only that, it's like there are more people in the room that want to hear songs that you are not requesting.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but we could do all of the songs that you're asking for, but...
But it's not about you.
Yeah, right. It's not your show.
I mean, yeah, everybody you do have a different too. Vibe that you put out, and you have an extensive song list that you can pick from. I mean, I've heard that you do songs that you never even tried before.
Yeah.
Maybe never tried before, but you don't regularly do it, or you've...
Yeah. It's fun that way. You've got to keep it interesting.
Yeah. I've seen you post... set lists and stuff like that, and I didn't know half the songs, but I noticed that you didn't repeat yourself really the whole 3 nights in a row. Or
oh yeah, I don't like to do that.
And but that's what we do. We kind of do the same show every night.
That's fine though.
I'm not like,
but you guys.
But that's why
one.
We don't. We just don't have that same kind of. We can't put ourselves out there that yeah. way, because if it's not on our set list, then
right, you
know, if
right.
it's not part of those songs that we know, then I don't know.
And by the way, I'm saying that I don't like that for me. Like, yeah. which, and we're all completely different. We all have our own...
Definitely.
Have our own things. And there's certain songs that we'll do every gig. Like, here lately, we've been doing, like... and I don't want to go naming. I don't want to go naming the songs, but we've been doing a few songs, like, every gig now, and we'll rotate those tunes out. But I...
Yeah, if it's fun for you, or if you're having yeah. fun playing them, you don't even have to wait for somebody to ask for it. You feel like playing that song.
Now, do you feel like if you've done a certain song or a certain set list for X amount of time, is it more like you're just on autopilot at this point, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, we know what we're here for, and this is what we're gonna do. And but do you also have certain rooms that you can play where you step outside of that?
Yeah, I mean, we step outside of it, but it's still within our realm of, like,
yeah.
we're not trying songs that we've never tried before, and we're not really even, you know, occasionally we will pull out something that we haven't maybe done in a couple years, but it's something that at one point we were
yeah.
really polished at. We just haven't done it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll tend to, you know, I think those kind of the rooms that we tend to bring out more of our original music.
And right.
it's like sometimes we just don't even pull many originals out because, I don't know, we're a little bit more on autopilot. If we feel comfortable, then we start digging into the original pile.
Yeah.
But I'm not even saying that I'd like to be the way we are right now. Like, it is a bit stale. You know, I think we both would like to have some more, learn some new songs and write some more songs and be a little bit more loose in the whole aspect of it, but it's just not where we're at right now. It's it's a little bit stale, though. I think we both feel that. We're just kind of like the same thing. Sometimes we'll just try to jumble up the songs a little bit, but we're not even good at that. Like, we literally do the same.
Start with, like, the second set.
Instead of the
and
first
set. And it's, like, totally different. Not, it's, like...
It feels different, yeah.
Yeah. It just, it's crazy how much it changes you guys, everything.
But, you know, that...
That's how locked into the thing we are.
What's funny about what you just said is I've been, like, I'm a huge stand-up fan, and I've been watching a lot of content on, like, stand-up comedians explaining doing stand-up. And they'll talk about how you get an hour of comedy and you have every punchline exact, like you've worked out this exact show for however long. And then they'll do the same thing. They'll be like, okay, I'm going to try my closing. I'm going to open with my closer.
Yeah.
And then just see where we go from that. And like, it is a completely different show. But do you feel like when you do that, do you feel like you have, for lack of a better term, blown your load too early in the gig? Or is it like...
Yeah, I definitely worry about that just because, like, what if it gets really busy?
Yeah, what if you need that?
And all we have is Damien Rice. And, like,
don't hold yourself.
Yeah, I think the order that we've typically play in the kind of the songs that we normally put together is a little bit made for a certain kind of gig, sort of these like sort of restaurant gigs around here, where it's like when you first start, there could be people eating, and by the time you're into it, everyone's just drinking at that point, and it gets busier and busier. So we try to, you know, work it out that way.
Yeah.
But then sometimes we'll start. The gig doesn't start until 10 p.m. and it's already packed with people just drinking, and there's no
already drunk.
So we just already drunk. And so you just we jump right into our that's when we change it up. And a lot of reason why we've put them in the order that we have is just is really about tuning. It sounds stupid, but because
not at all,
because we group all of our, I don't want to be tuning constantly, and every time I put a capo on, I have to tune. If I was playing by myself, I wouldn't have to, but when with Corinne, it's like it's just I have to. So or else it's not gonna, it's just
it's crazy. Every time you say that, I'm just like, you should totally tune your guitar if you're playing by yourself.
No, because it's relative. It's just, it stays in tune, but it's just the whole thing's a little sharp. And so I can sing around that.
When you're dealing with other instruments, like other stringed instruments specifically, like me and Smitty, that's totally fine. I can tune my guitar once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just go.
Even Sean and I, like, we both put the capo on in a certain spot, so it kind of does the same thing.
Yeah.
But where she's not putting a capo on, she's staying the same, and I'm putting it on. Like, everything just gets a little sharp.
And plus, when your guitar's a little older, your frets, because I don't know if you play up there as often, but your frets are not the same.
Oh, no,
there. So each chord is going to sound different. Like, I have to tune my B string a little flat and my low E string a little flat just to get it in tune on standard, like regular.
Yeah, that's the same for me, yeah. And so we group all of our standard stuff together to start with, and then when we move to a capo, we do as much as we can in that capo. So it ends up being that we just end up kind of doing this certain order because of that. I think that's where it started, where we started kind of not necessarily. So if we move to capo 5, within that the songs can be in different order a little bit, but. And we end up kind of doing the same show every night because it started off with that. So we're not up there constantly tuning. And
if it works, why not?
It does, but it makes us stale, and it does make us more on autopilot, and we're not really in the moment as much. We're just kind of going through the thing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, me and Smitty had that talk probably a year or two ago where we were like, I was just telling him, like, I had talked to Adam, and I was like, man, it's... Like we all love each other to death, but it's like there's a certain time we've done this thing for so long, it's punching a clock, and that's what we're doing. Like, I mean, I love this thing. We can do all we want to on the side and try to make this as fun as possible. But in all actuality, for most of the time, we're just punching a clock. We're just here to work. And whatever's the easiest route for us to get through this unscathed is what we're gonna do.
So sad.
It is, isn't it?
But it's that's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different in every project I'm in, but yeah. I think with Sean and I, if we ever play acoustic, it seems like with the last couple of years, it's been a little bit less punch in the clock. It really is punching in the clock, but it's the opposite of Corinne and I when it comes to set list. There's no structure. Idea. There's no structure at all. And even within, I think we just challenge ourselves within the songs that we know. We always seem to try to play them differently.
Oh, even, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just for fun. And it just works out. We've been playing together for so long that it always sounds fine. It sounds cool. And it's like, all right, let's try this song that we've played a million times, but let's play it in a reggae style.
Oh, yeah.
For fun tonight. And I don't know.
Are you guys still doing the Poseidon Head setup a pretty good bit?
No, but that's the other part, the reason why it's kind of refreshing when we do it, because it's not that often. And then when we do it, Sean is just so experienced in his own right doing things. And then we kind of just come back together and try different things. And that's awesome. Refreshing for both of us, I think, because in our other projects, we are a little bit more solidified. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know. But I don't know if everybody has that. I mean, I'm assuming Cornbread's kind of like that, too.
Yeah, we are now, because it's now that it's a treat to play with them, because it's not so something that happens all the time. But now that I've gotten it to where I can do American sound gigs, and I'm doing those, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe definitely one weekend out of the month, but then sporadically elsewhere as well. And like the Cornbread gigs, when Adam can make it, it's like, now the other day we did this golf tournament thing that happened at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and 8:30 a.m. we had to be there, and I'm just not that kind of a person. And we did a gig that night, and I was just not myself. But other than that, literally one gig where I was just a little nitpicky about things, like I get.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a treat to play with them now, because we don't do that as often anymore. And then when me and Smitty play duos, we can be like, you want to try? And he's just like, yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
Like, you want to try? Yeah, let's do it. And that works really well. Like it's been going really well, too. And plus, we've been, and I don't want to say this to anything negative about rooms that we don't play anymore, but we've really gotten a good group, like a good circle of rooms that we know works really well for us.
Yeah.
And if there are rooms that didn't do so well for us, and I mean, granted, there are a lot of places that love to have us and that we love to play, but maybe the crowd just didn't do so well for us.
Right.
And it's nothing against those rooms at all. But we've really gotten a solid, round of rooms that we can move through.
And where you can be yourself, and you know it works. There's nothing worse than just forcing something that it's not. Yeah, as much as the building might be nice, the staff might be nice.
Yeah.
Everything's great about it, I guess, is to a certain extent, it's just not for you.
Right.
There's definitely rooms that are just not made for us, that we've been able to just be like, it's okay that we don't have to play it. We don't.
Yeah,
it that bad. Like, I'd rather not play it than have to force it.
Uh oh.
What?
Oh no.
That was that. Oh, I'm about to say something I might not should say.
I'm not
going
to say anything.
But no, I, and there are certain rooms that we don't play anymore that I wish we did. You know, because I do miss the people that work there, and I do miss the crowds, and I mean. But the ones that we've done before, and plus we've been, Scott's very good now about when I say, hey man, like I appreciate those guys wanting to help us out and give us dollars and things like that, but that's not us. Like, that spot's not us. So, I mean, like, it's not going to hurt my feelings if, you know, we have to cover those rooms. And usually, and sometimes those, I'll tell you a room that I was dead wrong about. The first time I played, and this is one of my favorite rooms now, is Brass Tap. Mm. The first time I played there, it just didn't go.
Yeah.
I was in a bad way. I was depressed, and I just didn't. I wasn't good, and I didn't do very well. But then, like, next time I went back, it was different.
I agree.
And I got, because I was trying to I hadn't started playing what I wanted to play yet. And I think we had conversations about that during that time where I was just like, I'm just doing the same things over and over, and I'm not getting to play what I wanted, and wanted to do like early 2000s emo shit. And I did that at Brass Tap, and they let me do it, and I got a pretty good response.
I actually agree.
Yeah, I like Brass Tap.
Me too.
God, I love that room.
It's definitely gotten better and better every time we've played it as well.
Yeah.
And every people come out to see us there too, which is cool.
What a nice little building crowd, right?
Yeah. And I think that there's different types of places, but yeah, there's some places that really, it doesn't matter if you're up there kind of trying to cater to the room or just thinking that this is what people want to hear. It's not going to affect the room either or not. And it's just going to make your show, unless you want to do that, you know. But I think in general, if you play what you want to play and you're happy, it'll show, and it's just more impressive. It doesn't matter specifically what songs people are playing as much as when you're watching somebody, they're in it and they feel it and they like it and they're comfortable with themselves. And it just, to me, I'd rather watch that than to watch somebody struggle to try to figure out what the room wants to hear. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just not as comfortable. I want to see you be yourself. It's more enjoyable.
Yeah, I spent far too much time doing that, like struggling to play what I thought the room wanted to hear.
Yeah.
But if you're happy and you know it, guys.
Guess what? The room wants to hear you be you.
Right.
Or if it's a good room.
Yes. Yeah. God, those there. But you know what? There are a couple of really good like rooms that want to hear those garbage songs that you just. But you'll play those garbage songs and they'll throw $60 in the tip jar for just that song for a room full of people.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, all right. So it's gonna be one of those gigs.
Yeah,
line them up. You know what? Autopilot for the rest of the gig. We can do all of your.
There's
all
nothing
of your
wrong with that.
Simple Man. All of your Skynyrd. All of your Marshall Tucker Band. All of your Allman Brothers. I got you.
Yeah, if it's one of those gigs, it's fine. There's
fill
nothing
that
wrong
tip
with
jar
it.
Up.
But if it's not one of those, and you're still doing that, it's like, well, you got to question yourself. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
If it's not one of those things, then what am I doing? Like, why are you trying to? You don't have to try to turn the room into that every time. I think start off being yourself, and yeah, you can tell if it's going to be one of those.
Now, do you feel like you've gotten to the end of a gig that you didn't think you did very well at, that, but you were just like, you did what you wanted, but the crowd didn't respond too well, but then you get like talking to the bartender or servers, and they're like, that was awesome. Like, we really enjoyed that.
Happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, I'm definitely
same
okay
here
with
lately.
Going back to certain venues. Just because the staff.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of it. Or there's just places that you don't get any applause at all, but at the end, multiple tables come up to you and say, I was listening the whole time. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. Or you check your tip jar and it's just filled with money and you're like,
exactly.
I guess it wasn't bad, but it wasn't by applause. You couldn't tell by that because it's just one of those rooms where people don't feel comfortable, or you know, the first guy didn't do it, so nobody else followed, or whatever.
What
of course, and so like you can't really judge by that. But yeah, there's gigs that we've. It's like, man, we just didn't. This isn't the room for us. I guess it didn't go well. The whole time you're just kind of going through it, and then at the end you realize, no, it actually did. You know, people enjoyed it. That's why they were staying the whole time. Or
because you know what, starting
I think Grumpy
out,
Monk is one of those.
It is. Grumpy Monk is that.
I was like, what is happening here? Like, nobody. Should I even be here? Like,
but just about
care?
Every table that leaves drops something.
Drops it and says something to you as they're leaving. They're just like, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
You know. I'm like, okay.
I don't mind that in the middle of the song, by the way.
Yeah. The old.
Yeah.
The mouthing.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I don't mind that at all.
Just like,
dude, but yeah, that gig was another one that just when we first started playing that one, Smitty was there for it, and the drum in that room, and just an acoustic guitar in that room,
imagine.
Just us or me personally in that room. Like I get asked to turn down a lot, and I mean every time I say I'm going to play that gig. And Smitty's like, you know, I do not mind at all not doing that one just because it's, The
it's
whole,
hard to be you. Yeah,
it is. It really is. And I've said so many times that, like, about him hitting the shit hard and everything, but that's how he plays. And you know what? You have to play.
You can't.
You have to do you.
Yeah.
And
there's no volume on it. I mean,
right. Whatever you got to do to make the noise that you need to make, that's what you got to do. But that being said, I will do, like, really well in that room and not through applause. Now, I was going to ask you a while ago, does the whole, like, not applaud, no applause thing, like, does that suck all the air out of your sails, or are you fine with that?
I think I do a good job of just talking myself out of feeling bad.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
it's not us, it's not them.
Yeah. Okay. Get used to it, but I mean, it took a while to kind of realize that no applause doesn't mean that you're not doing well or that people don't like you. It's just
sometimes the score doesn't depict the game.
Yeah, just not the way people express it. Sometimes they express it in different ways, and I mean, although I can't say that I don't love applause, that feels really good too.
Right.
I'd prefer if they did applaud, but I've gotten to the point where I guess I don't worry about it too much. Although if there's no applause and there's no tips and nobody came up and said they liked it, then I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we need to do that one anymore.
And I'm fine with that. I'm not one to be like, all right, what do I need to do to make myself work in this room? I'm just like, this room's not for us, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was an off night, or maybe it was, you know, could have been anything, but don't change. I'm just a firm believer in don't change unless you're in that kind of project where you're like, I'm trying to cater to whatever is happening, which is fine too. It's just, that's not what our band is. Our band is just like, this is us.
Stay the course, I think, is the way to go, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. If you're trying to be an artist, and I mean, we're doing both. So we're out there playing these kind of gigs, but we're also trying to stay true to ourselves and make a name for ourselves in the world. So, like, you're not going to get anywhere if you constantly keep catering to what people want. Yeah. People want you to be you.
Yeah. Or why else would they want? Why else? What are you going to do? What do they need you for if you're not going to just be yourself? Yeah. I always say that. I could play the same songs that all these other bands down here play, but if I did that, what would you need me for?
Mm-hmm. Right. Everybody knows that if they go to a Cornbread show or a solo show, or I haven't seen the American Sound yet, but it's going to have a lot of you in it, and you have a certain vibe, whether it's your song selection or your takes on songs.
A lot of B-sides.
Yeah, and if you're not into that, then they won't come see you. But if you are somebody's into that, I mean, that's what I would go to see. I don't want to see somebody doing Brown Eyed Girl and Wagon Wheel and stuff. I don't know. Just me personally, I'm like, I'm not. But if I was a tourist, a golfer here for the weekend, I guess I'd probably, you know,
want to hear those same 12 songs that everybody else wants to hear.
That would make it the perfect night.
Yeah, you know what? If I could just hear that Chris Stapleton song, my wife would just appreciate that.
And I might get it, too. Yeah, maybe they haven't been out in forever, and you finally took her out. And
but you want to hear the song that you guys heard before you got out of the fucking car? I'm sorry. I just can't deal with that, man. Why do people do that? Why is that a thing?
Maybe it's that they want to hear your take on it.
Songs.
Oh, yeah.
That they're listening to in the car.
Then I don't know. Like, this is the thing. If it's somebody who chose to listen to that song and they were of their own will and accord listening to it, and then they come to see me and they want to hear the live version of the same song they were just listening to, by all means. But if it was the same song, and if you listen to the radio for an hour, you're going to hear it three times?
Yeah.
Bro. Why?
Why? I guess the only positive thing that could be, like, maybe they just want to hear you do it because...
Under the Boardwalk. That's a good one, Abby.
Under the Boardwalk.
Yeah, Abby commented. Right, everybody knows that one. Or you know what, though? There's some of those songs, and I'm sorry, I think I totally cut you off just now.
No, that's fine.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't care.
Some of those songs that are you haven't done in so long that when you do them, they're new again.
Yeah. Or maybe it would be like, for you, I would kind of want to hear you do Under the Boardwalk, because that's just not.
Yeah, but
it's not like I would.
Do I know that?
It's just like I expect a beach band or like a, yeah, or, you know, to do that, but not, you know, scruffy, like Grateful Dead loving, yeah, guy. You know what I mean? Like, that would be kind of cool. I don't know. I would like to. What would Kelsey do to Under the Boardwalk?
I want to hear it.
That's what I mean.
Nah, maybe later. But no, I've one of those songs for me has been like Stand By Me.
Yeah, that's a great song.
For some reason, that like we did that song recently. Somebody asked for it at Brass Tap. Mm-hmm. And we did it. And I was like, man, you know what's great? Ironically enough, that's the last song that John Lennon and Paul McCartney sang together.
Yeah.
In a toot and a snore in 74. There's some wisdom for you. But yeah, that song did that for me. Like, it was like just so like almost laughable when people ask you to do it, because everybody knows that song.
Yeah.
And also You Are My Sunshine.
Yeah.
The first song I ever learned how to play. I've done that like a lot lately at solo gigs. I don't know why.
Sean and I got asked back in the day, like years and years ago, and it kept happening. Like, just like an older woman would come up and ask if we knew Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And we were like, no. But then, like, I started thinking about it recently. I'm like, that'd be kind of cool. I don't know, like something really, really
that
old.
That middle
and
part, like, gets a little.
Yeah. I actually sent a song to Sean last night via text. I don't think he got it because I think his phone's broken, but. That really old song, Do You Love Me? I like sent him a text and I was like, can we do this song? I'm like, I just kind of, I've always liked it.
Do you love me?
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yeah. Watch me now. I just was like, man, this, I've always thought that song was fun. And I'm like, never thought about covering it, but. You know, younger, man. Some white guys, you know, some white, you know, tattooed dudes doing this old, like, you know, Motown song or wherever it's from.
Do you do that? Like, and I think I'm bad about that because I know there's a lot of, Smitty's got this YouTube playlist of a bunch of songs that he wants to learn, but it's like hundreds of songs. Or it seems like it is.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the songs that I want to do are old songs. Like, these are mostly like modern songs that have come out of just like a lot of like Uncle Lucius and Wood Brothers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Good stuff songs. That's not, yeah, not very popular, which I love. That's the shit that I like.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I want to do the song that came out in 1960 that everybody loved and just forgot about.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to do a like an 80s hair band cover, like Sweet Sweet.
Like Change It. Yeah. You've been talking about that for a while. Yeah.
Like a couple years at least.
But yeah. It's hard to think of one.
Yeah. And I always feel like I'm like, oh, this is the one.
Yeah.
And then I'd never remember what it is.
Or write it down. Yeah.
Oh,
I always,
man,
think some like really, really old, like, you know, 60s hippie stuff would be cool with us, Mamas and Papas or something like that.
You guys would destroy Star Shining Bright Above You. Mm-hmm. Dream a Little Dream. You guys would kill that song.
See, those are fun ideas. I do like the old stuff. I don't know.
My Morning Jacket does a version of it, or Jim James does. Jesus. With that just bird of a voice that he's got.
Yeah.
God, y'all would kill that.
I have to listen to it.
I don't know why I just thought of that. That's cool, though. What are the 80s hair metal songs that have made the cut? Do you remember any of them?
I can't, but something with some, like...
We thought of them, and then we, like, didn't write them down.
I just always love, like, the harmonies and, like, even in, like, in the guitar.
So good.
And, like, in the guitar solos, like...
Yeah. Or even you're saying, like, even before Hairband, but, like, that sort of Journey, Foreigner era, like, before Hairbands start, like, the bands before.
Like,
that,
synth rock almost?
Yeah, like, just kind of, like, power rock. Yeah, with all those harmonies and, yeah.
God, those harmonies are so good, man.
Yeah. What was the last thing we were talking about? It was like, Boston or something. It was... There's only a couple.
Man, I wish I could remember things. I remember laughing
right.
a lot after, like, I was like in the car and I was listening to the radio, and like I get to the studio, I'm like, Jeremy, we need to do a song, and it's like the one that goes like da da, and I'm like singing it, and he goes, ugh. And then says the artist, like, yeah. the reaction was perfect. I was just like,
yeah,
that one. I can't remember though.
But change the style a bit. I'm assuming.
Of course,
yeah. Well, that'll be you guys. I don't think you guys can do a song
like
without it. Yeah, I don't think you guys can do a song without your stamp.
Yeah,
which is beautiful, by the way. That's rare.
I just want to play some sweet guitar solo on my cello.
Yeah, I see why. Yeah, I think I can see where you're coming from on that. Mm-hmm. The harmonies. They all have like cool little guitar riffs that are really important, like catchy melodies and stuff that you could translate into cello.
Mm-hmm.
You guys would probably do it. And I've been doing it lately a lot as big country in a big country. I'm not expecting to grow flowers in the desert, but I can live and breathe and see the sun in winter time. In a big country
song, yeah.
dream, stay with you like a lover's voice.
Who is it?
Big Country.
That's what the band's name is?
Big Country in a Big Country. Yep.
The band is Big Country, yep. and the song is in a big country.
Yep.
Okay.
Big Country in a big
country. Oh, have you never heard?
I think I know
certainly
it.
Certainly you've heard that one.
Is it like it's 70s?
Was that a violin?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
Oh.
Well, I was doing that because I was thinking, because I had have you guys plugged in now.
Mm.
Do you do that when you listen to a song? Do you hear how you would do it?
Sometimes.
Yeah. So... that's what I think. It's a lot easier to do if you already have an idea of how you would do it. But sometimes, just like, I want to do this song, but I have to figure out how I would do it. That's where it gets kind of tough, I think.
I think we just do it.
You just do it.
Just do it.
That's right. Obviously that my vote. That's my vote. I don't know. I love just winging it.
So do you Big Country?
Green Grass and Heights. I might have to try that one day, Abby. Yeah, I do. It's but it's got like there's hiccups in the timing. So like it's not exact. Like we would have to practice to do that with Cornbread, which we don't do that.
Yeah,
we don't practice. So yeah. It's really cool though. But it's like da na 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 na. It's got a happy little like
I'm sure I know
melody
it.
Maybe
just
it.
Not that didn't know the name of it. Yeah,
yeah. And plus, I was probably singing a harmony line instead of a melody because sometimes they get mixed up. But yeah, like so,
it's something you'd hear in a classic rock station.
No, you wouldn't hear this on radio. You'd probably hear this in like a movie from the 80s or something like that.
Gotcha.
But it's one of those things that maybe, I don't know, maybe it just has that memorable melody to when I hear it, I just feel like everybody should have, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll listen to it later. But no, the 80s is a very underrated decade of music for
Absolutely.
Me.
Songwriting-wise.
I didn't catch on until way later. I hate all the 80s vinyl that I've just gotten rid of that I didn't know I would like until...
Right.
Just like literally the last 5 or 6 years.
Sure. The 80s were filled with great songwriting that was just kind of covered in sort of cheese a little bit, or just like the tones of stuff was a little bit. Yeah.
Hey, Gentry and Cam.
Hi.
Hey.
Watching from the Casa. But yeah, those. There is just some ridiculous harmonies in those songs, and ridiculous like the lyrics are solid. Like even your radio hits like Outfield,
right? Yeah,
like those high screaming vocals that are just like da 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 da. It just sounds like you're falling off a cliff. It just sounds elegantly falling.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
It's elegantly falling, man. Not like graceful as a moose sometimes, man. You have to... sometimes you just have to go for it and fall down and get where you need to go. Oh, man. So, on the road, you guys, I see on the social media, you guys talk about podcasts a lot. So that would lead me to believe that you guys listen to more podcasts than music.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it used to go, but years ago, it was more music. But yeah, once we found podcasts, and it's less tiring, I think, if you're on like a really long trip.
Yeah.
As much as you love listening to music, but it's like sometimes it tires you out. It
sucks the energy out of you.
Yeah, it does. And then when you get to where you're going to play music, you're like, ugh. But with anything, you got to kind of. Silence is also really nice too. Like we spend a good amount of time just driving in silence, which is kind of nice. But yeah, we listen to a lot of podcasts. It definitely helps eat up the time, helps you kind of, I just love staring at the road and imagining, you know, picturing things that are being talked about.
Yeah.
And usually scary stuff. Like we just listen to a lot of murder.
Murder, death, kill. A lot of scary things. Oh, Lord. Not a shotgun. I was going for this one.
Yeah, that's how most of our podcasts start. It's like,
Listener's discretion is advised. I put this on here to just throw people for a loop because the things that I talk about are not, like, scary at all, really. But they're like, why am I starting off on this? Just because that's how my mind feels.
Yeah, it's just mood setting.
That's how I went and saw It today, man. I've been watching all these scary movies. I did in the hurricane, when the hurricane was going on, I was, like, sort of planning on losing power. So I started watching a bunch of scary movies because the last hurricane that took the power, I was in the middle of watching The Conjuring 2. It had just come out, and power went out in the middle of that movie. So, like, it worked. And I love that.
The timing was perfect.
I love that. Like, that was the greatest thing, too. Plus, I might have been a little, you know.
Yeah. Focused.
Well,
not
focused. Plus, I might have had a sheet of something under my tongue during that time. Man, that was that was quite the hurricane. I had a great
timing was perfect.
And then power came back on a little bit later, and I couldn't figure out how to like turn stuff back on. Oh man,
yes.
But seriously, though, I feel creepy and like dark and scary and stuff like that. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a show coming up next week, and I made a flyer for it. And I remember thinking, like, I think I asked her, and I was like, is this too dark? She's like, no, it's great. It's perfect. And, like, I think it is kind of dark looking, but it's not. It's just engaging, and it kind of matches the mood of...
It's perfect.
Something that, yeah.
It's like one of my, like, probably top five favorite flyers that you've made.
Oh,
sweet. It's got, like, a raven on it, and it's just dark. But, I mean, and it doesn't necessarily match the music of all of the bands that are on it, but it has a vibe to it that makes you just intrigued.
Oh,
and
I think
it
I
just
know what
gives
about.
You that kind of, I don't know.
So, yeah, next Monday.
Next Monday.
16th.
Mm-hmm.
Clocker's Tavern.
8 p.m.
Sweet, sweet, haunted like human.
Where they're from, Nashville.
And High Beams.
From Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a great show.
Outstanding.
And it's on a Monday, so I know all the musicians are off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except for all the open mics going on.
Yeah, there's like a million open mics.
Right.
But
you could skip it this month.
Or just come for a little bit or whatever. Yeah, we're trying to do... It's just few and far between that you have multi... You know, band original shows in this town or in this area. So why not? It just has to happen more often.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I didn't realize that those things. What happened just there? I did not know that those things happen as often as they do until I was talking to Brian about that, and he's put me on.
Oh, Brian.
Brian.
He doesn't stop. He's like a machine.
Yeah. And he is definitely the front runner when it comes to organizing things like that, or being
he's the part godfather of things of like that, that in this area.
Yeah, and he knows about everybody's shows that are happening. And yeah, there is a definitely there's a whole scene of original music that happens in Myrtle Beach that they don't they typically only play the coffee houses or, you know, stuff like that, where they'll have like 5-6 bands on a bill. And these shows happen all the time. We're just not in our circle of musicians that we know, that we see all the time, and they just kind of stick to their own thing because there's not really other venues to play. But
dude, I saw this band called Monocopsis.
Are they from here?
Scary.
It's spelled Monochopsis, but it's pronounced Copsis, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a few songs that they did. I went to the Lawrence LaRusso show because I know Jamie pretty well. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's band was playing at Bourbon with Monocopsis and Brian.
Yeah.
Brian was there as well. And I went for as long as my anxiety would allow me to be in public. And I heard Monocopsis do this song. They like, and they're going to be on the podcast soon too, but they were dropping log chains on this giant like floor tom. They had this one guy who the keyboard player just had this floor tom sitting over there, and had this log chain, and he was like, he dropped a chain on the drum and then drag it off. And that was a percussion.
Yes.
And it was so fucking sick. I was like, dude, this is the sickest shit I've heard.
Are they based out of here?
They're Conway, I think.
Oh, man.
Those guys are Conway. Daryl DC from Jam City told me that they were interested in doing a podcast, and then I heard that they were on the same show with that Lawrence LaRusso,
yeah,
with AJ and Ed and Jamie.
Yeah, Lawrence LaRusso. I was trying to remember that's who that band is. Yeah,
yeah,
yep.
And AJ right. Yeah. And but yeah, I went and checked them out, man. That was fucking awesome. I'm excited to get them on the podcast. I want them to I wanted to explain themselves.
Explain yourself.
Where did you get that? How did you figure out how to do that? Just do all this on your own.
Younger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all super young from what I can gather. But then again, everybody looks about the same age now.
Yeah.
That are under the age of 30, I think. They all look under, I don't know, 18 somehow. I'm just getting old, I guess. We've been doing this thing for a really long time. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but it has been.
Which, you've been doing what?
Like music in this area. Oh, yeah, like sure. Seeing we've known each other for so long. Like this has been.
It has been a long time.
More than a decade now, I think. Well, at least just about a decade now, and it does not feel like it's been that long.
Man,
what's up, Eve? Right. Get kids ready for bed. I understand that. Actually, I don't understand that at all. I understand, and that's something that needs to be done. You know, you gotta do shit like that. But yeah, I don't know. I really want to get those kids in here because I want to see where they got their where they got their inspirations from.
Yeah,
I'm curious of that.
It's cool to these younger.
And Brian's that's why I always like hanging out with
hanging out with the Oracle Blue guys and stuff. Those kids are like, I call them kids, but I mean they're a little bit older than kids, but
yeah,
they're just so young, and they have the music they listen to is like I have no almost most of it. JP did a gig with us with Bullfrog. We had to travel to Florence for it, and he was sitting in for Sean, and so he rode with me, and he was showing me all sorts of stuff. Every time he's like, you ever heard of this? Do you like this person? Do you like it? I'm like, never heard of it. I'm like, play it. I'm like, you're in charge of the Spotify.
The only people that I'm intimidated to talk music with is Oracle Blue. Like, I want to hang out with those guys so much, but we cannot talk about music.
I think it's a good thing because it's like just a completely different perspective. It's partially comes from youth and it comes from just coming from different backgrounds and, you know, musically just,
And I really dig their sound. I've just never, I don't have a lot of experience listening to that sort of like fusion or, you know,
the stuff they listen to individually isn't that.
Yeah.
Like, well, the music they make is not what they listen to, but it's interesting. Like they all come from like slightly different places. But yeah,
does that make me an asshole if I'm just like, yeah, I just don't listen to music? When somebody's like trying to tell me to listen to something, I mean, you know, believe it or not, I just don't really listen to a lot of music. So, I mean, like,
who says that? You'd listen to music, though. Or do you just stick to the music that you know and like?
No, I don't. It just like we said earlier, it drains my energy. It's impossible for me to. I play in my head. I practice in my head.
Yeah.
And when I'm listening to music, I'm playing the whole time. You know, like, so no, when I'm done listening to me, I mean, I'm just exhausted. It's like it's an unnecessary ration of energy that I have to put to listening to music.
Yeah.
So, like, today, the only... I heard one song today, and it was the Chris Farley song that Adam Sandler wrote.
That's a good song.
And that's
Did that wipe you out there, Kelsey?
I cried. cried. Yeah, I mean... But I did. I get emotional, man. Like, I'm an emotional guy. Like, if I hear a progression, like, it doesn't even have to be lyrics. It could just be something musical that's beautiful, and I'm like, I understand it, and I understand where they were when they, or I feel like I did, and that just wrecks me.
Yeah,
and I can't put myself through that often.
Yeah, I mean, as far as just like sitting and that being the only thing you're doing is listening to music, it's pretty exhausting sometimes, and then you really kind of pulls you. And sometimes I just don't have the time to, but I like to listen to music sort of in the background. It's not that I'm not listening to it, and it's not that I am. It's just like if I'm working on something else, that's when I kind of really absorb it in a good way without it ruining me. And it actually ends up inspiring me. And I typically, if I'm like working on maybe some computer graphics or like, you know, building a flyer or something like that, I listen to music, put an album on, and then I get into it, and before you know it, it makes me want to pick up a guitar and start writing myself.
Yeah.
Whereas if I just sat down and was just listening to the music, I don't know. Yeah, it's a little much.
Well, I'll feel like when I've started doing that, like if it makes me want to write halfway through the song that I'm writing, I realize I'm just writing different lyrics to the song that inspired me to write.
Right, true.
And then I'll have to like, shit, so now this whole song is like nothing now. So that's how when I write or when I hear something in my head, like I'm like, ooh, I need to write that down because I know it's an original thought because it wasn't inspired by anything I was listening to because I only listen to podcasts. So, like, if I hear somebody say something in a podcast and I'm like, ooh, there's a song, then I can, you know, I can work with that and feel like I haven't – because I'm just really bad about it. And I'm not saying that anybody else has this issue. I do. Of when, hey, Megan, good to see friendly faces. Aww. Megan me giggles.
Megan me giggles.
But yeah, just that's how I would do that. Like I would just get halfway through a song and I'm like, oh shit, I just wrote a John Moreland song.
Yeah.
Because that's what definitely. I was listening
I'm always
to,
worried. Like, even when you haven't been listening to music and you come up with an idea and it just sounds really good in your head, you're like, damn, that's good. I always think, why? What did I do? Where did I steal this from?
Yeah.
Like, it can't be. I know I'm going to just figure this out later down the road once I already complete it and record it. I'm like, that's where it came from. Ah.
When you get sued by Bob Dylan, the Pharrell Williams or whatever his name is, the Bruno Mars that got sued by Tom Petty, I think it was. Yeah. He was just like, maybe that is where
it's true. Like, you don't really mean to, but stuff gets stored in your head, and like,
unless you want to go down the road of which, like, someone like an Oracle Blue is doing, where you're completely like, there's no way that is stolen from somewhere, right?
Because it's just so unique,
it is. But if you're doing like the way that I write, with simple chord progressions and just regular chords, majors and minors, no like weird stuff, then there's no way that what you're doing hasn't been done before.
Sure.
You know,
I don't think that's different. I think,
what's up, Kevin?
In a singer-songwriter world, in that kind of, it's not about everything that you just did is completely original, but obviously you came up with, it's different lyrics and it's slightly different or whatever. And it's not, it doesn't sound ripped off. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not the same as the same four chords that everybody uses on the radio, or
yeah,
you know, obviously that's a thing, like the G, D, minor C thing. It's like, yeah, you're never gonna get away from that. It's always gonna be regurgitated over and over and over and over and over again.
Always.
Not everybody's getting sued for using that chord progression. It's impossible now to like come up with. It's not impossible, but yeah, you have to be making some strange stuff in order for it to be completely original.
Now, I will do that, Gentry. I will put a record on like that. That's something I will do every now and again.
So, like in more of a background sort of vibe.
Yeah, but you know the. It'll have to be something that I've. It'll have to be something that I don't have to think about.
You've already absorbed it, yeah.
I've already absorbed it and rationed out. I know what to expect with this, and usually I'll have one record that sits on my record player for weeks. I'll just drop the needle, and whenever it's over, I rarely flip it over. I'll just maybe listen to it for a minute, but then I'm more interested in the novelty of playing a record for the most part than I really am. And some albums are just, you know, you want to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I try not. I don't know. I know what I'm getting myself into when I pick that. So I was like, yeah. I don't know if I even want to start this. If I throw.
Sometimes you have to, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we all avoid. We don't want to cry all the time, but.
Yeah, but all about music. Like that's what I like about music is the emotion and the sadness. I think like not in a specific emotion, like sadness.
Yeah.
Like I like music that other people would consider sad just because. Maybe that's how I feel, and it's comforting for me to know that somebody else has also
it's moody
felt that
and you're feeling
Death I mean Cab for Cutie, Transatlanticism, like if I that's the one, if I put that on, if I start it doesn't stop, I have to listen to the whole thing and then the fucking thing skips,
and that's why you always say that's your favorite album, because it is up there when it's like Dark Side for me or something. I don't just listen to one song. If I'm going to listen to Dark Side, I'm going to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm right.
And, or, you know, like OK Computer or something that I like, just all those albums that I love. I don't usually just go there and listen to one song. I was exhausted the other night. I listened to the whole Tool album because it's another band I love. And I was like, of course, I was looking forward to this album. And I waited till it came out. It was started streaming at midnight, so I didn't start listening to it until like 12:30 or 1. And I mean, it was awesome, and I am glad I listened to it. But man, I was mentally exhausted after listening to it.
Is it awesome?
I think it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I don't. Of course, it's Tool.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't make anything that's not awesome. Is it comparative? It's different. But yeah, I think it's incredible. A testament to that is just how mentally exhausted I was after listening to it. For one, it's like an hour and 20 minutes long. And and it also is just so colossal, like just the timings that are going on in it and just the rhythms and it's to the point where you get kind of lost, and before you know it, once I was done, I felt like I took like a giant math exam or something. I was just exhausted. Like it was good, but I felt not, I was kind of excited, but at the same time drained. And they're the kind of band that doesn't make me cry or like feel sad or anything. It almost makes me feel powerful after listening to it and like introspective and thinking about my brain and my body and how it works together. And I don't know, they're just everything seems like I'm thinking like a god or something.
Yeah.
Thinking like about nature and like how just like everything has happened. It's science. And I'm just like,
for like the bottom portion of that meme that they all post, like is the levels of awareness.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's definitely one of those kind of bands. So it's not the, you know, they used to be much more angry and much more just like fuck you,
young
and sort of angst and now it's much more about healing and it's almost got a spiritual quality to it. And
I've heard him on several podcasts. He's definitely that now.
Yeah, Definitely. I love him and Joe Rogan talking. Like, that's my favorite Joe Rogan guest, because I just love Maynard.
Music is a great uniter. 100%, Kevin. We are all born with a drum in our chests.
I like that.
That's true. Yeah, those... I like Rogan's podcast a pretty good bit, and I try to listen to just about all of them. Just for the, I don't care who he has on. Just that's how I get news.
Yeah,
that's how I get news, because it's like humans actually talking about these situations and not giving you their opinions. They're just stating facts, and then
yeah,
that's basically what it is. It's just a bunch of people stating facts and not.
I mean, they give you their opinion on it, but yeah, but still, they're not telling you it
how to feel.
Yeah. Not right. at all.
I like that.
I like Joe Rogan, for sure.
Yeah. He's the reason I do this. Noah Burns sent me fucking episode 9/11. Alex Jones, Eddie Bravo, talking about Pizzagate and all that crazy shit. And you remember when he was obsessed with that back in the day?
Alex Jones?
No, Noah.
Oh, Noah. Pizzagate? I don't remember.
Where everything was that. But
was it based off of Alex Jones or?
Sort of.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. It's all the Epstein stuff that's happened now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
This was the beginning, before anybody knew that it was going to happen, when it was still a conspiracy. Now yeah. it's been proven.
Yeah.
So he was all into that shit, and he sent me that, and I was like, what? These people are just sitting around talking, saying all this crazy shit, and there's nobody to monitor them. You know? Like, there's nobody. They can get away with this stuff, yeah, and like millions of people watch this and listen to this. I'm like,
it's not backed up at all. Yeah.
So now what can we do? And then, yeah, he's the reason I got started doing this shit.
That's great. I'm glad you did.
By the way, with you guys on the road as much as you are, and I know that you said y'all do a lot of silence and stuff like that, but you should record like little 15-minute talks, like road talks and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, we could if we actually talked, but yeah. like if we're listening to podcasts, we're not talking, and if we're not listening to anything, we're usually not talking either. I mean, sometimes we gab a bit, like after a show, if it went well, we're kind of excited and, you know, might have a couple drinks in us and we like gab, like talk a little bit about stuff, but it doesn't, yeah, it's just not us. I'm surprised we're even here right now. Like, we're not necessarily the most talkative people.
Which is fun.
Yeah. I mean,
because I talk a lot. I can help out with that.
Yeah, and I talk a lot too. Like, I don't know, but I gab. I'm not gab, I blab. I just sort of rant on about things. You can tell from some of our phone interviews that we've done. It's like Corinne on one hand is just like, chooses not to speak unless she has something good to say, which is a great way to be. And then I just start talking. I have no idea where it's going or if
swing for the fences every time I do that.
It's a dynamic of our band. You're going to get a lot of me blabbing about stuff and Corinne saying just a couple things that are very specific and on point. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
No. It's fine. I mean, that's all we got, so I can't really change it. I mean, I'm sure I could get better at it.
I told Corinne the other day, I was like, I'm pretty good at speaking. I can help you do that. I can help you with some talking.
Definitely feel a lot better this time around doing this. Like, before I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But
gabbing, not to be confused with blabbing, Cam.
It's true.
But no, like, but see, because it's not. Sure, there might be people who can see this in the future, but it's just us.
Yeah.
Buzz.
I'm down with that. The live thing, I asked about that earlier. I was like, is it really live? Because I have had like a panic attack one time on doing something live. One time, Corinne and I had like a live performance thing that we were doing. And for some reason, I was fine up until I was actually in the moment. And then I started thinking about too much stuff. I just saw the light, red light going, and I started thinking about...
Yeah.
There was nobody in front of us at all, but yet I was like, I have no idea who's watching. Mm-hmm. And it just, for some reason, really wigged me out. It's just different than performing in front of people.
And then the worst part was the audio was messing up, so we had to do it over again.
Oh, no.
Well, no, actually, the first time doing it was, I was fine. And that was we found out that the audio had messed up.
So there was a monkey wrench.
Yeah, and then we went back and did it again. We had to, like, talk to the company, because the company was, it was like a concert that was being put on through a different web page that was, like, sponsoring it and, like, putting it on. So we had to get, like, a new link and get it started again. And, I don't know. Just something hit me. I was fine the first time through, and I got the second time, and I almost, like, couldn't move my fingers. And I kept thinking, I have to get out of here. Like, how am I going to, like, naturally get and smoothly get off of this screen without it looking strange? Like, how do I get out of here? Like, I have to get at, like, a panic attack. Almost like, I where's the door? Like, how do I? And then I'm like, I can't just walk off screen. And then what? Like, do I say something, or, like,
just leave me there?
Just leave? I'm like, do I say? Do I explain what's happening? Or do I just get out and walk out and not say anything?
Yeah.
Or do I just, and then I realize, I'm like, I'm going to have to go all the way through this. We have another, it was only like a half an hour or something, but
was it a struggle after that? Or did you, once you realized you were going to just have to do it, did some sort of, like, buckle down kick in?
No. It just kept getting worse and worse. Yeah,
it made the next time easier.
Yeah,
next time we did it was definitely not like the time right after.
Yeah,
right. I don't know. I just it's never happened. That was the only time it ever happened. But and I don't know why it did. So it was just a matter. I've never felt it on any of these podcasts or any other time. But I go back to that. I'm like, I don't want to ever be in that position again where I'm like on something and I can't get out of it.
Oh yeah.
And I just don't know what's freaking me out about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I've once I see my warning signs pop up,
anxiety thing.
Yeah, I can get out of a situation pretty quickly. But then again, like if I'm ever live or anything, when something like that happens, I believe I'll just talk myself through it, just because I think that might be my best route of getting through it. I've said it in another podcast, it's like the snake in the room is not as creepy when you can see it. So like when you know it's there, it's like, okay guys, my heart rate's getting up a little bit, blah blah blah, I might be having a panic attack right now, just bear with me for a little bit, this will all be blown over soon, I'm gonna have to get in my own head for a minute. But just I'm bad about that if I'm away from home. But if I'm here, I'm fine. And I try to expel that to other people as well. Like, I want everybody to feel as comfortable as they can here, because this is just my house. It's not like we're in front of...
And it was just talking. It was something to do with performing that way as well, though. It was playing music, and there's something about... It was like technology freaked me out somehow, because there was nobody there, but yet it could be everybody there.
Yeah.
And I it wasn't just filming it and then going back later and posting it. It was happening right now, and I could never. I don't know. I just can't change it. It's like, what if I mess up? And then I'm like, then I started messing up, and I was like, just get it together. Like, you can do this. And then like, I just couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't sing how I wanted to sing, and I couldn't play, and it just started making me freak out more and more. And I'm like, I have no idea who's watching this. Could be everybody. Could be no. I mean, nobody would be great.
Yeah.
But it could be everybody. And I. But yeah, there's nobody here, so I'm actually not interacting or really pulling off of anything. I'm just. I don't know. It was just this weird. I think it was technology that fucked me up.
It does that sometimes, man.
It's a fucking weird thing to play to nobody, but possibly everybody.
Yeah.
What?
It really is, and that's sort of like. I try to do that, and you're right, Gentry, we all do have anxiety, and nobody watching seems to see it. Like, we are pretty good at hiding it, I think, just because that. I was trying to think of the, like, performance adrenaline, I guess you would call it, that, push you through something.
It does, actually. I didn't have that. It's like, it's the adrenaline from it, and it's also having real people in front of you is a real thing. It's reality.
Right.
Whereas this was, like, it altered reality. It's like... It just
you were in the Matrix. You were just seeing the binary.
I'm like, I just
I don't even see the code anymore, man.
It's this. There's if there's something not if, it, if there was nothing real to pull from there.
Yeah.
And I was having a hard time getting my reality footing, and I think I was just kind of it affected me. So I hope not get there again. Probably happen again.
That's the thing. I've said the same thing. Like you'd want this thing to never happen again, but just with the kind of brain that one has to do what we do, it's unlikely that we'll be able to, like, and I'm not trying to ruin anybody's dreams of ever living a normal mental life or anything like that that does music or art or anything like that, but I think that all of us have that touch of torment in our lives that's just that wolf that's always rapping at the door, like, that's always right there just right behind you, that you're barely astride in front of it at all times. You're constantly running away from this thing that's always going to be chasing you. That's where the don't look behind you because there's something there in Sunset Grill comes from. There's always a monster behind you, and it's just a matter of trying to move forward faster than it can.
Yeah.
And that is a difficult fucking thing to do day to day when there's just so many things that you make in your, and most of it is all in our own, it literally is in our heads.
Is that what you meant by the snake is scarier? Or it's less scary when it's actually in the room?
The monster, like the snake, the monster, when because, you like, see it, it's less scary. When you know it's there, then it's there. It's like you ever watch a scary movie, like the best scary movie doesn't reveal the monster until the end.
Right. So the unknown is what is scary. Right. Yeah.
So just like, don't look behind you. There's something there.
Yeah.
Then you know. Then you know
there's already something there.
You know what? Just learn to live with it. It's a demon that you just have to feed every now and again to keep it from biting you.
I like that.
It really is.
I mean, the unknown is definitely scarier, and letting your own mind, get the best of you and just kind of come up with things is definitely the scarier than anything in reality.
Yeah, that's very true. And our minds are just. They're stacked against us. They're just stacked against. Our minds are just always against us. My mind is always against me, man. It's like I have one of those brains that will constantly run me through any bad thing that could happen.
Yeah,
like that's just part of my filter.
Sure,
my thought filter is just thinking about the shit that might go down, and if it doesn't, cool. But if it does, I'm somewhat prepared for it. But does that give me a little extra anxiety? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that it's a bad thing in some occasions where I've, like, you know, sort of stopped a problem, prevented something bad from happening because of that thought process that I go through.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It might just be more stressful than it's worth, and I don't know how to cut it off.
Yeah. I don't have to. Thank God I haven't been plagued with that too much. I mean, I don't think the worst thing's going to happen, and I don't like preparing for, I don't know, bad stuff to happen. I feel like I'm more optimistic, and everybody has to deal with it sometimes. It definitely hits me occasionally. I'm just glad I don't have to do it all the time, and I don't know if it's something you can control or not, if, like, just you at least realize it. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm just in the middle of it. I'm like screaming at people, and they're like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like,
just
it's my brain. I apologize. I can't control this thing. But I don't know. If you ever get a brain that you can't control, is that fun? I think sort of the fun of this roller coaster is just being along for the ride, because your brain's its own thing. We're just the vessel that it's using to walk around.
Sure.
And it's gonna do what it wants to do.
I mean, there's probably ways out there you can control it, maybe a little bit more, but I've never tried anything. I've never been to therapy or
me neither.
Tried even a good dose of meditation or any stuff like that. But I mean, it's some of that stuff might be a way to learn how to control your brain.
Oh, yeah. Now that I'm fine with, and I'll find myself in times of like what I guess will be considered meditation is just where I'm trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Organize my brain, which I think is what all meditation is just like cleaning up your room.
Yeah.
In a way, you know, like
teddying up.
Right. And I don't know, I'll find myself doing that sometimes, but I just I would always stop there. I will never take any sort of medication for like that. Just because I don't know. I don't want to lose any part of, because it's going to alter your personality one way or the other. Like, and I'm not willing to lose any part of my personality, even the bad parts, because that's what makes me me.
Yeah, no. I was definitely referring more to like exercises and different things that you could do.
Yeah,
mental exercises.
Yeah.
Those seem easy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, even exercise, which I don't do myself, but I know that can get you into a mental space too. That might be helpful. And actually getting your body working, it's definitely some science and some chemistry going on inside us that if we feel like we can't, it could naturally help our brains even.
Rogan said that,
making
actually.
Our blood move. And yeah.
He brought that up. He was like, one thing that people who have like crippling anxiety, the thing that they have in common is that they're not very active people.
Yeah, definitely. It's a thing.
And I don't know if it's because of the job, but it does. My job doesn't really cater to being active very much. You know, like I save every ounce of energy I can to pour into the gig, and I allot all of it out until that day, which is why I'm like a zombie when I'm not playing a gig. And when people try to have a conversation with me, I'm like, if I don't tell them, hey, I'm a fucking weirdo, heads up, they're like, they're halfway through the first sentence that we're talking to each other, and I can see them like their eyes shifting back and forth, like, how can I get out of this conversation?
Yeah,
but I notice that, and I'm like, okay, I'll let you go into your, I have to go do this thing. So I know I'm fucking weird. It's okay.
I'm sure it's part of the job because there's not a lot of, not to say it's there's nobody out there, but it's very rare. I don't know a lot of people that do this job that are very active or exercise a bunch. You know, it's just, I don't know if that's just comes with the territory a little bit. And like,
I think it does.
But let's admit it's probably better for us, or it probably would help make our body function more properly.
What about
which entails like help make our brain maybe function better?
Yeah.
The high beams boys.
Yeah, they exercise for sure.
They're crazy.
Yeah, they'll play till 1-2 in the morning, or get up and go on runs in the middle of the summer.
Like just not running from nothing, or
no, just running to keep. They're just healthy. Yeah.
Huh. Atlanta's different.
It is. There's some people that I've met some, but for the typically, yeah.
You don't, I want to be that person, man. I really want to be that person. I just can't.
I know. Yeah.
I did it for like eight or nine days in a row. Went to the beach every single night and walked more than a mile every single night. And I posted this thing on Facebook like, I'm fat. I need to do something about my life, and I really do. And these are actual thoughts. Like, I'm not just saying that to fuck with myself. Actually, I am saying that to fuck with myself because I need that.
Bully yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I do. And like, I need that firm hand. And I'm the only person that I will listen to, so I have to say it to myself.
Good. Yeah.
And I don't know. I did for like a little bit more than a week. Walking on the beach every single night for more than a mile, and then it started raining and those king tides started coming in, and like I had no beach to walk on, so I was like, okay, I'll just go tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Tomorrow never came. Fucking A. I was on my way to it, man. I was like, on day seven, I was like, fuck, I'm doing this. Like, I'm going to be in a better body by my birthday. Like, this is going to be awesome. And then day 8, 9, here we are.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to do it together.
Yeah.
You think so?
I don't know.
I don't think that's I don't know. Because then you're just accounting. You're putting your own accountability on somebody else's.
I don't know, man. I even had somebody who, and I love this person to death, and he's a very good friend of mine, and we talk a lot. But he sent me a message one night, a picture of the beach where I told him I usually go out, and he was like, "Hey, man, I was out here looking for you, dude." And I was like, "Okay, so now I'm not going to go back because now I feel like there's going to be somebody there looking for me."
Now it's expected, yeah.
Just because my whole thing of going in the middle of the night is to be alone, because right. I just really dig being alone, man. I can't.
I actually really like being alone too. Yeah,
it's strange to explain to people, you know, where they don't understand that. They don't understand that somebody could want to be by themselves.
Some people, they're really baffled by that. They're just like, they need to have people around, or I have to be alone. It's like, that sounds great.
Yeah, like more the merrier. And they're like, "Oh man, you know, I don't know if I'll go because I don't think I'll be able to find anybody to go with." And I'm like,
sounds awesome.
Yeah. Where's the problem? That means you get to stay home by yourself and do nothing? Okay. Where do I sign? And I've even told people, before that if I could do this and broadcast live to all the rooms that I play, I would.
Yeah,
like I would.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely, I would. 1,000%, without a doubt. Sign me up. Like it just because.
What if you were playing in front of people, actual people at places, but it wasn't the style that is. Around here, where people can come up and talk to you and stuff, it's not like that. It's just you performing. Like, at say you're performing in front of 100 to 200 people in like a theater every night, instead of playing at these gigs where people can come up to you and talk to you constantly, and like you'd still have your privacy, and you still didn't have to. You wouldn't have to interact really. You would just go up and do your thing.
But that's more frustrating for me because that gets me farther away from here.
From home?
Yeah.
So you'd rather stay home?
Yeah. And I understand that that's odd, but that's just me. That's just how I am. I've always been a homebody, like, even back home when I was a kid, you know, like, I was just not much of playing outside or anything. I like to be inside. I like to watch movies. I like stuff like that, and I like inside activities, and I always have, and now that I think back, like growing up at my grandparents' house, I never had to leave home because everybody came there all the time. Yeah. So that's sort of what I have going on here in Myrtle Beach, to where Smitty has a thing that he says, that where we don't have to leave Myrtle Beach to play to different crowds of people because they just show up.
Yeah.
The different crowds of people come to us. So we get to stay in one spot and they come here. So this is.
You even have that here.
Yeah.
Technically at home. People come here to talk to you. On this podcast, so you don't even have to.
Which, and I love that, and I mean, and I love hanging out with people and having great conversations with you guys anytime I see you, but it's almost like having to set up play dates.
Yeah.
You know, just like I have to know that, you know, I can do this, but at some point I will be able to, you know, decompress all of my own stuff by myself in my own way. And I find it really hard to explain to people that I have to do that mm-hmm. I have to be by myself to decompress all the shit and unpack all the shit in my head. I have to do this on my own. And I think because other people either unpack all that shit in their brain differently or leave it packed up. and I just can't think of that. I can't do that. I have to. My brain is a scary place to be when it's by itself and with all of that shit that I've got in it. You know, I have to organize everything. Like it's like bringing all your groceries home and leaving them on the counter and like not putting anything away. Right. That's just clutter, and I can't deal with it.
Makes sense. I don't know how
mental clutter.
Yeah, I don't know how other people do it that don't do it by themselves. But
yeah. They just leave it packed up, man. And, then, and I've noticed that some people, they leave that shit packed up, and then whenever they
explode.
They explode.
Yeah.
And they take it out on somebody who doesn't deserve it. And I used to be that person, too, like, until I figured out a way to, like, which is what I use the podcast for, is to just get on here and just talk, say what I need to say, and don't care how anybody's going to feel about it. Just say what the fuck I need to say, and whatever they want to feel, they can feel. I don't care.
A good way to do it. You got it pretty figured out, man. At least what works with you. At least you don't. You're at least being true to that. And I don't. I think some people leave it unpacked, or because they leave it packed up or however, I can't remember how you said it, but
yeah,
They don't know, that that's even a thing, that they're even doing that. They don't, at least you realize it, that you're like, okay, I need this. I need to be able to do it this way.
Yeah. I think so. Half the motherfucking battle. Well, guys, we are coming up on about an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Really good content. Can you believe it?
Whew, I was wondering how long it's been.
I have to pee.
That's been, by all means, you could do that at any given Sunday. But yeah, I just wanted to get you guys on to talk about all kinds of good shit, and we have talked about listening through a couple of the original tunes, which if you guys want to, we can afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm so weird about doing everything on my own and doing things by myself that I hadn't even entertained the thought of putting other ears on this thing until Tyler was like, you might want to have somebody else listen to this stuff, because
it's really good too. Yeah.
I just don't,
even if you are happy with it the way you are, you know, it's just good too.
Yeah.
It doesn't even, whether you're getting it mastered and you're getting like somebody professionally that's actually going to redo stuff or something like that, or if it's just literally just giving it to a couple people to hear that you, so that it, you know, they can give you.
Yeah.
Just put somebody else's ear on it. Right. I definitely have learned that over time, especially all the music I've made myself.
Yeah.
It's just, you'll see. I mean, I'm much more. You seem to be found a nice, happy place where you're like, this is how it came out, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Which is good, but I can't get to that point ever. Like, I am just, will dwell on it and continue to work on it and continue until somebody says stop. Or give it to somebody else. Like, if you can't figure out what it is that you don't like about it and how to fix it, then somebody else will tell you how to do it. But quit messing with it. And I just can't. I'm like, okay, even like, even when I have, it wasn't my decision to stop.
I would have kept going forever. See, that's what I do. That's my problem, is I have that same thing, which is why I stop prematurely even sometimes the process. I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to keep rolling this boulder up this hill. I'm not going to keep doing this, because
thank God for deadlines.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying too. I love that you could do that, and that it'll ultimately give it a raw sound, which I think is great too. And I think that it'll finish it quicker, which is also a great thing. But the problem with it only is that after listening to your songs, that they're like really good, and they like, I'm afraid that without just a little bit of tweaking to make it a little bit more, making sure that it's just still raw and still, but just a little smoother,
technically
all, you know, I think that it would do it justice, because they're just great songs, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I just don't want them to be not listened to, not that it wouldn't be listened to, but just enough to make them a little bit.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and I think it's worth it, and wouldn't take too long. You know, spend a million time on it. You were even talking about redoing guitars. I was like, no. I mean, if you want to, but like, you don't have to. Like, it's not that. It's just a little.
Yeah, little little sounds.
And then, just making sure it all together is, you know, all kind of sounds like it goes together. I think that's the one thing about making an album that should still be done. You know, in this day of age, you can release a bunch of singles and stuff like that, and they don't have to really go together. But if you're putting it together and packaging it as an album, which is just the old fashioned way, which I love, it should still, you know, they should be about, you know, just the same level and the same EQ sort of, like, so it's not like, oh, in this song I have to turn the bass up, or in this song I have to turn the highs down, or in this song I have to turn it up, or it should all just be like, I can let it go and it all matches.
That's one thing I do know. I do know for a fact that I just did them all individually and didn't really like.
I mean, that's the way everybody does.
But I mean, I didn't really take into account the fact that one might be a little louder than the other ones.
And, you don't until the very end.
I mean, what's up, Wildflower? I'm assuming that's Joan. Is that you, Joan? Did you change your name? But yeah, no. I definitely want to get some fresh ears on that. So before it gets too much later.
Yeah. Good idea.
We want to go ahead and tell these good people of the YouTube world that please click subscribe to the channel. I'm trying to get 420 subscribers. That's my next threshold that I want to get to.
You can have, you're not subscribed to your own channel. Is that a thing?
I don't think I'm signed in over there.
Oh.
But,
options.
420, that's a weird number.
Well, it's just my next threshold because I've got like 340 something subscribers now.
Nice.
So my usual threshold is like I wanted to get to 300, then I wanted to get to 400, and I was like, you know what, man? You know what's crazy is I haven't smoked.
It'd be a hell of a lot cooler if it was 420.
Yeah, right. I haven't smoked for 420, and I used to be a 420 smoker. Like every single time I saw it was 420, I was like, you know, bowl ready. You know, just watching the clock. But wow, this is I shouldn't say that. Yeah, I'm gonna. Who cares? 420 is my grandmother's time of death.
Oh no!
Oh wow!
420 a.m.
Is that when you stopped?
Yeah.
The 420 thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, maybe I shouldn't celebrate this anymore.
I haven't smoked 420. I'll wait to like 421 or 419, trying to get it in real quick. You know? But
that's sweet, though. You gave that number to her.
Yeah. That's her now. But you know what is, I think about her twice a day, at least.
Yeah.
At least. Like twice a day, I'll think, you know, and you know what's crazy? Wow, I've never said this out loud. Every single time, I've never had any family member of mine who has passed away that I feared seeing. Like,
yeah,
you know, like I've never felt weird about visibly seeing someone who has passed on more than I have my granny, because she used to tell me that she said, when I die, I'm gonna haunt you. She used to tell me that. She used to feel like, when I die, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be watching everything you do to make sure you don't mess up.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't do nothing bad. So at 420, I always like looking over my shoulder like,
yeah,
where she at?
It sounds sweet and comforting, but it can also be sort of like, one of these days, I'm going to. It's kind of spooky. Sounding.
Well, you know, I've had my dreams seem very real.
Yeah,
I have a hard time when I'm in a dream choosing whether it's real or not. So I've like seen them in dreams before, and I've like sort of become like accustomed to how I would feel if that happened in real life, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if it happened in real life, I think I'd just really be stoked to see her.
You think?
You know?
You think?
Yeah. I really do. Like, well, one, because I'm curious, and I'm forever curious, and to see them, I would be able to know for sure that there was a veil that you could look behind. There is actually a curtain there.
That's true, yeah.
So I would do it.
I mean, there isn't really anything scary about seeing your granny. Like,
yeah.
Just because it's a ghost or whatever it would be.
Just because they're existing on some other different plane of existence.
Yeah, there's really nothing scary about that.
Yeah,
it would be curious. It'd be fascinating.
Just have how do you make your biscuits?
I've been trying.
Just please, can you possess a pen to write that down for me?
It's like, can't hold a pen.
That chicken casserole. But anyway, all right, YouTubers, please go to @sweetsweetband on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter. All of the things is @sweetsweetband. Is that your handle on all the social medias?
Yes.
Okay. And
sure.
Close enough. Most.
You'll be able to find
all of them. Yeah.
So also.
Well, it's our hashtag. So if you type that into, yeah, we've made it. So
okay.
It's attached to everything. Yeah.
Sweet. And also Spotify, iTunes. Mm-hmm. Anywhere music is available.
Clockers next Monday.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a fun time.
Clockers Tavern.
I wonder if I have a gig. I don't know.
Cancel it.
Canceled.
Or just stop by at some point.
That sounds possible. I'm not saying it's probable because I'm a fucking weirdo, but it sounds very possible.
I don't want it if you don't.
Listen, I have a hard time saying that, too, and I know I keep ending this thing prematurely every single time, but I feel bad about saying, hey, man, I don't want to promise you that or say that I'll be there just because I know how I am, and I don't want it to be an offensive thing for me to...
Yeah, we figured that out. I figured that out about you. I mean, I used to see you back in the day out and about, but it's been years.
Yeah.
I just assume that you just don't go out.
Yet. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't, man. I'll stop by and see somebody every now and again.
Yeah.
Randomly.
If you're already out. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Anyway, yeah, all over the place. Anywhere music is available. Sweet, sweet. These guys' original music is fucking amazing. Your covers are amazing. Your sound is amazing. And I just fucking outright love you.
We love you too.
Oh, so sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, please go to MIStuffPodcast.com and check out all the cool shit that's going on there that I haven't updated in fucking weeks. And also the blog that I haven't updated in fucking months. So go check those things out if you'd like to just see what else is going on. That's where you can do that. Also, please, if you're listening on or watching on YouTube, I suggest that you check out on the Apple Podcasts or Podomatic or Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. Download the audio version. The audio version is a little bit cleaner. There's a little bit of editing that goes into that. So if you are one of those people who just wants the, you know, more clean and cut episodes, then check out the audio. But for YouTube folks, I want you guys to see all the nonsense that goes into this shit before we get started and stuff like that, because I, just like we were saying earlier, want to play stuff that you would like, play a gig that you would want to be in the crowd for. I want to do a podcast that I would like to see. I'd like to see the behind the scenes shit of what goes into stuff like that. So I'm just making a podcast for me. That's what YouTube is for me. So please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please do that. Screwballwhiskey.com, S-K-R-E-W, ballwhiskey.com. Screwballwhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here. Thanks to our fine sponsors over at Screwball that is taking the nation by storm. Peanut butter whiskey, and you can get that at any liquor store now. Go to your local liquor store, and if they do not have it, they will get it. So just go to your local liquor store, ask for Screwball whiskey, and they will get that to you ASAP. So do that, and anything else? What else do I got? Clocker's Tavern, Monday night in Myrtle Beach at 8 o'clock. And
September 16th.
September 16th.
You're watching this at a different time. Yeah.
That's right. September 16th. Yeah, weeks from now, you guys are fucking... Yeah, it's over, man. You just... You missed your window. So yeah, there's that. All right, guys. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. Peace, bitches.